We have a beautiful contrast also in the prayer of the Pharisee and of the sinner. The Pharisee, he thanked God for what he was not. I thank thee that I'm not like this, I'm not like that, like the other. It was a long prayer, and the Lord speaks of them, the Pharisees, like to stand at the corner to be heard, make the prayer as such the object, rather than the to whom they are addressing their prayer. And that's that proud, self-satisfied attitude. What did the sinner have to say? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a very short prayer, but he said a lot more than the one that prayed a long time. Recognizing his need, but he also knew where to come with that need, and Lord, be merciful to me. Recognizing there's only one that can show mercy, but of the goodness of his heart, and we can address him in that confidence.
When I think of prayer, I think of access. That it's on our side, it's dependency. You know, prayer for the Christian is like oxygen. It's like breathing. It's a necessity. You know, if you don't get oxygen, as I recently learned, you're not doing well. You have to have that connection, that lifeline. But on the other side is access. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 5, we get access first brought before us, connection with justification. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice or glory in the hope of the favor of God. The glory of God. And there's this access. There's access to God's grace, but there's access, as we'll see, like into his presence. But the foundation of that is justification. It's being reckoned righteous, not like the Pharisee who was self-righteous, but like the man who smote his breast and say, be merciful to me, O God, for I am a sinner. It's recognizing our need and then seeing that need has been met through the atoning work of Christ, that we now have access, we've been justified. And then when we come to Ephesians chapter 2, we see the agents, so to speak, that bring us into access. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18. Paul says here in verse 17, and came and preached, that's the Lord Jesus, peace to you which were afar off and to them which were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And there's the persons. We have access through the Lord Jesus. We just saw that Romans through his finished work by the Spirit. The Spirit, he's the helper on earth. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. He's here with us to assist us. We get that in Romans chapter 8. He makes intercessions for us and so on. And to the Father, we draw near. It says, by one Spirit unto the Father. And this is in the opening portion here, to whom do we pray? You know, Father, Abba, Father. And with the help of the Holy Spirit on earth, but through that foundation that the Lord Jesus has laid in his precious blood. And one other verse in connection with access, and that is in Hebrews, of course, chapter 10. Although the word access is not used, the thought is certainly there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. And this is exhortive. It's an exhortation for us. The apostle says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We were outside before, but now we're called to draw near. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. There's the exhortation that we can. I've always been struck with this. Come with boldness. That means it's open. We can draw near. We can have access now to God.
I think it helped us tremendously to, as we have heard, the first prayer that God is willing to hearken to is the prayer of mercy. And that we have taken it up from light of Luke 18. The Lord said two men went to the temple to pray. Scripture teaches us that once that prayer is uttered and there is that life that we have heard about, there's another example that comes from the scripture that we ought to follow, is that now becomes, there's this constant communion. I am reminded of the Apostle Paul when he, the day of his conversion, if you will, in Acts chapter 9, when he was sending Ananias and he is telling him to go to the street that is called the Straight. And one of the features of one that have prayed the first prayer is now he's in the good of constant dependency and communion with God, because God says, behold, he is praying. The second aspect that I would like to suggest to all of us, it is very essential in the Christian life to have this personal, individual relationship with the blessed God founded in prayer. That's why the Lord Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, when thou shalt pray, enter into the closet. That's the individual side. In the first prayer, it's have mercy. In the second prayer, once we have life and we are speaking and communing with God in dependency, the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 to approach the throne of grace, another verse, with boldness, to obtain mercy. The first one is to have mercy. Mercy is very much connected with prayer. So the first prayer, it is to have mercy. And the second one is to really always obtaining mercy and finding grace to help in time of need. How essential prayer is, even in light of needs. But there is something that is extremely important, and that is the collective prayer. The Lord Jesus says here to them, collectively, when ye pray. And how important, dear brethren, that I have to come to the thought that it is not only important for me to pray individually, but as far as the scripture is concerned, it has to be done collectively. And we do it in light of what? We find mercy. We obtain mercy. But you brought before us, Brother Mark, the example from Jude. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus. Dear brethren, the prayers for needs is until the Lord Jesus comes. Awaiting for the mercy. So how wonderful to see that prayer is always connected with mercy. And taking the Lord Jesus as our perfect example, we read of him in two ways he prayed. Well, certain occasions when he prayed, we don't know how he was praying as far as the attitude of prayer. But we understand from two scriptures that one time he prayed on his knees and one time he prayed falling on his face. And I just want to say it reverently that in prayer, as I'm expressing my needs and relying on God's mercy, I also confessing that I am nothing. You know, it's the expression that Daniel said, faces to the dust. The face is down. But also the knees. The knees. A prayer is an expression that we will not move. We will not do anything. We will not walk. There's nothing that you and I, we're going to be doing without the mind of God being obtained in prayer. So the Lord give us mercy as we are discussing such an important subject in the life of the believer.